From a secret location in room 100 of 540 Jack Gibbs Boulevard, this is Craft. I'm your host, Doug Dangler.
Steve Hofstetter will be in town with the Funny Bone Comedy Club on June 23rd, and we are going to talk today about what's new in comedy and what's new with him. So welcome to Craft, Steve Hofstetter.
Thanks, Doug. Thanks for having me.
You've been doing comedy for a number of years, and we've talked before about how you got into it and some of those things. One of the questions I have been wondering about for you is, do you see changes in audience reactions these days to humor? Do people respond differently than, say, when you started, and how? Because it seems to me like there's a lot of changes going on in comedy.
I don't, because I play to my own crowd. You know, I'm at the point now where the people buying tickets to me are either people who, 99% of that crowd are people who either are very familiar with my work or people who are coming with someone who they trust who's familiar with my work. In that sense, there is an inherent change, because a lot of us do have the ability to reach out to our own crowds now. You don't have to be starring in some primetime sitcom in order to sell tickets. And so because of that, people's reaction differs per comedian, because our audience differs per comedian.
Right. On that note, you've talked before about how your crowd is your crowd, and it comes each time, and they generally know what to expect from your comedy, but you still get hecklers, famously on YouTube.
They are rare, though. These days, it's about 1-2% of the time.
Really?
Yeah, it used to be, when I first started, it's 10-20% of the time, and that's because I was plopped in front of an audience who didn't know what they were getting. Also, when you start as a comedian, you start playing small towns, because you're playing for hardly any money in the middle of nowhere, and that's a place where a comedian who can draw or who is known will not go, or will not go for that little money. And then eventually you get a little bit bigger, and then you're playing big cities, but you're still a just funny. And what a just funny is basically no one has heard of you. You can do the job, but no one has heard of you, but you're good enough that you're playing clubs in major cities, because major cities are where the clubs are. Mm-hmm. But when you first start, you're playing bowling alleys and hotel lobbies and wherever else they decide to have a show on a random Tuesday. Then when you get big enough from that, you go back to the small towns, because you're able to draw wherever. Mm-hmm. So I find that the more people know exactly what they're dealing with, the less they're going to heckle. I rarely play clubs on weekends. Weekends are for theaters and for rock venues that you rent out. And the reason I do that specifically, it's not just a better payday. It's also because you're not going to get people randomly wandering in. Every now and then, an idiot will do that. Every now and then, someone will go, I like comedy. What genre? Oh, there are no genres. It's all the same. Obviously, it's not all the same. Mm-hmm. So when that happens, that's when the hecklers still come in, but it's rare.
So following on that, you said there are genres in comedy. Mm-hmm. Where would you put yourself? What genre do you think you're working within?
I'm a social critic. Some of that's political. Some of it's just societal. A lot of the stuff I talk about shouldn't be political, but has become political. I don't think advocating for basic human rights is inherently political, but unfortunately, it has become that way.
Yeah.
Even something as simple as the current set I'm doing, a lot of it is about becoming a new dad. And that should not be political. But the cost of it is inherently political. The idea that we're the only developed country in the world where hospital bills for delivery are $30,000. Mm-hmm. One of the jokes I do about it is I say that our bill was $32,000, which is true. And then I say, but I have very good insurance, so we didn't have to pay the whole thing. We only had to pay $28,000. And I did that joke. I had a couple of shows in Canada a few weeks ago, and I did that joke, and they were so confused. Like, they got kind of the idea because they know about what goes on in healthcare in America, but they were just like, what? Why would you have to pay anything? That makes no sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that those sorts of things are very difficult to translate. I watch a lot of British comics, and there's a good chunk of it that I just don't get. If they start talking about politics, I'm like, okay, I know the top level people, but when they go, well, somebody down in Chelsea, I'm completely lost.
Yeah.
I've often wondered, though, because you've had many famous interactions with hecklers, what do you feel when you sense that that's going to start? Is it anxiety? Is it righteous indignation? Is it happiness? What is the emotional cost?
Annoyed. I think annoyed is the overwhelming emotion because I'm there to do the set that I came to do. Mm-hmm. And while I always give myself the permission to ad lib and to play around a little bit, I don't want to be interrupted. What do you feel like in conversation when you're interrupted? You feel annoyed. Mm-hmm. And it's not just annoyed on my behalf. I'm annoyed on the behalf of everyone who came to see the show. Okay. And so I don't like it, but I like that I'm good at it. I like to refer to it as a sniper is a good shot. They'd have to be a psychopath to want to kill someone. They're very glad they have the ability when it's needed, but they'd rather sit on a roof and eat a sandwich. That's a better day.
Mm-hmm. Although it is much harder to get paid to sit on a roof and eat a sandwich.
Well, if you're a sniper who's there in case something goes wrong, you'd rather it not go wrong.
Right.
You're happy to be there in case. You've trained as a marksman to be there in case, but you'd much rather not have to pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So in something that's in my mind, which is a playground of nothing, that is sort of related to this, is in addition to your June 23rd Funny Bone performance, you will be on June 9th debating MAGA creator Mike Bayless, not familiar, to raise money for the Steel City Arts Foundation and the Wounded Warrior Project. Tell me about that and maybe why you agreed to do a debate with this person.
So the Wounded Warrior Project was the charity that he chose. I chose the Steel City Arts Foundation. Okay. So basically the way this happened was, this is a guy who routinely takes from other creators and does the whole reaction video thing where he's just in the corner while he plays someone else's art. And he might have one or two sentences afterward, like, can you believe this? Come on. Like stuff like that. And he posted a picture of himself on Threads wearing a shirt that said Democrats can't debate. And he said something about like, I bet no one on the left will debate me. And immediately all of us were just like, I will. Mm-hmm. And the reason I volunteered to do it is because I don't want to platform people of those beliefs. I do want to provide a cogent argument to people who have folks like that in their family. My goal isn't to change this guy's mind. That's not going to happen. My goal is to give the viewers a very specific set of tools so that when they go home for Thanksgiving or the holidays or whatever, that they can speak to their uncle or their cousin or their sister or whoever it is that they disagree with, mm-hmm. and make a quick and precise argument, which is what I do.
Okay. That sounds terrific.
Thank you.
All praise to you for being able to do that. Perhaps the reason why I was asking about what you feel about it is because I'd be extremely annoyed through the whole thing. I don't know that I'd do a good job.
Oh, I am. It's weird because in many aspects of life, I'm a very impatient person. But when it comes to performance, when it comes to on stage, when it comes to something like this, I can be patient because I know how it's going to end. Mm-hmm. And so I will happily let him walk through whatever circles he's going to walk through because I know I'm going to have an answer. And part of the fun of it is I let him pick the topic. I wanted to show him and those watching that a debate for me is not about I'm going to do more research and I'm going to pick a topic that I know the most about just so I can look good. That's not what this is for me. I let him pick the topic, which he picked voting rights, which I found very funny because literally the next week is when all the gerrymandering stuff went out of control. And I promised to do no extra research. The idea being that he can research all he wants. I will still know more about it than he will. And to show someone like that, that you can fake this or you can actually pay attention to what's really going on.
Well, it sounds great. I hope you do really well with it.
Thank you.
Good luck. And the last thing I wanted to end with was, what's the most persuasive thing you can say to folks to get them to go to your show?
Well, if someone is watching this or listening to this and is already annoyed of how woke I am, yeah, I don't want you on my show, honestly. Go find something you enjoy. Stop making your life about hate commenting on things you don't like. For the people who do feel some sort of kinship toward what I'm saying, One of the main points of the set I'm doing right now is that joy is resistance. And it is. And it is amazing to not just find something that you'll have fun with, but for those who feel like the world's gone mad, who it's unprecedented times, I like to say it's unprecedented times, but for the people who agree with that, to surround yourself in a room full of hundreds of like-minded people is such a catharsis. And to do it while being entertained is even better.
Mm-hmm. I do like the idea that, I think you said, joy is resistance.
Yes.
Because I've been toying and listening to the existence is struggle, but that's a much better view of existence than, say, struggle or existence is resistance is another one that I like, that joy is resistance or resistance is joy, to make it.
Yeah, it's both. It's absolutely both. And the reality is, when you're going through something terrible, you can either take that pain and bring it out into the world and give that pain to other people as well, or you can find something, anything that brings you joy, and you can give that joy to other people. And the way to resist and the way to counteract pain is to do that. And so if we can do it on a large scale, we'll get through this.
Okay, excellent. And I'll just mention for folks who are listening to this on the podcast and not on the YouTube channel, that you are sitting in front of a wonderful collection of baseball jerseys that shows one of your other great passions, baseball.
Yeah, not just baseball, but throwing out ceremonial first pitches. I've now done 47 of them. Oddly, I think I've done like 9 in Ohio. I've thrown one for the Indians and the Guardians because it was several years apart.
I am not good at sports, but I assume you always make the plate, because that would be my biggest concern.
I do always make the plate. I don't always throw a strike. I'm about 50-50 on that. The most recent one I did one for the Syracuse Mets where I did it while holding my baby daughter. And that was a lot of fun to be able to throw a strike that way. Because sometimes you can throw from the mound. Sometimes you have to throw from in front of the mound. It depends on the groundskeepers and the mood they're in. They offered me to throw from the mound that day. And every other time I've been offered, I'm like, yeah, I'm throwing from the mound. But that time I was like, no, it is so much easier to slip and fall. And I'm holding a baby.
And your wife had no problem with you holding a baby in front of a possibly 100-mile-an-hour ball coming back at you.
No. There's no hitter when you do
that. You said throw a strike. You just mean hit the glove.
Yeah. What would be in the strike zone.
Right. Okay.
That one was, it was a little high, but for a batter of my height, it would have been a strike. So
excellent.
If I'm throwing against Jose Altuve, high, but yeah. An Aaron Judge right down the middle.
Excellent. All right. Well, Steve Hofstetter, thank you very much for talking to me again. You'll be in town June 23rd with The Funny Bone. We'll have that on the website. And best of luck as you move forward in doing all the cool stuff you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
For more information from my guests, visit www.craftheshow.com. This is Doug Dangler. Until next time, be creative.